Our gospel lesson this morning is from the gospel according to John. As Pastor Rachel mentioned, it takes place at a wedding. I wonder how many of you have ever been to a wedding. Okay. Not everybody, apparently. So this is from the second chapter of the gospel according to John, the story of the wedding at Cana. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Here ends the reading of the gospel. These words speak the power of life, and they may be trusted. Amen. Reverend Plogger, I don't know if you feel this way or any other pastors who are in the room, but so often, given the choice between a memorial service and a wedding, I'd much prefer the memorial service. Why? Think about it, in case you haven't before. At a wedding, there is really one emotion that everybody should have. You'd better be happy for the couple, or you shouldn't be there. At a memorial service, the whole work of a memorial service is to invite the full range of emotions. There is laughter, there are tears, there's anger, there's confusion, there's celebration, there are questions, there are stories. The full panorama of life is meant to be shared at the memorial service, but at the wedding, let us all be happy for the happy couple. Having done a good number of weddings in my ministry so far, I have some stories. There is one in particular that I'm thinking about right now, and it proves that just about anything could happen. You see, the wedding was over, and we all made our way to the reception hall, which was not at the same place. So we all got in our cars, drove to the reception hall. It was a brand new reception hall. It had all the bells and whistles. All of the guests walked in, and do you know what? There was no electricity. The party was all ready to start, and there was no power on in the entire building. A brand new, fresh building. You could still smell the paint. And there was no power. And as a group of us were standing there in the foyer waiting for the lights to come on, which they eventually did, suddenly there was a spectacle right out the window. A hot air balloon had essentially crashed. No one was hurt, but it had come down with a thud, and it was losing all of its air, and the balloon was falling down, and we thought, this is bizarre. This wedding reception was not off to a good start. I'm happy to say the marriage itself continues, so it was not an omen. So anything can happen at a wedding. In the Gospel of John, it is at a wedding that Jesus performs his first sign. Sometimes we want to call these miracles. You've heard that word before, miracle. In John, they call it a sign. These are actions of Jesus that are meant to show forth who he is. Specifically, in this story, it says that Jesus acts out this first sign in order to show his glory, in order to show the light of God that is in him and that is shining through his life, through his ministry, through his very person. That is the purpose of this sign which Jesus acts. Now, we can call it whatever we want, but it's hard to know what to do with a story like this, right? That 120 to 180 gallons of water were suddenly turned into wine. And not just any wine, but the best wine anybody had ever tasted. Could we possibly repeat this experiment? We have plenty of winemakers in Sonoma County. They can make very good wine, but not out of water just like that. Not at a wedding just like that. So what are we to make of it? What are we to make of this sign? When faced with signs and miracles, so often we're offered two choices. Brian McLaren, in his book, We Make the Road by Walking, says when faced with a miracle or a sign story like this, we find ourselves debating whether it could really happen, and we land on one side or the other. So often some people want to make the whole thing about whether or not it happened. And if we come down on the side of, well, yeah, it happened, it's as if we have a whole house of cards. And if somehow it didn't happen, you're taking out one of the cards and the whole piece falls apart. Jesus must not be who he says he is anymore. On the other hand, there are those who insist that nothing like this could ever happen, and therefore I'm never going to believe in it no matter what you tell me. But when we'd never believe that anything can happen beyond the stretch of our own imagination, our world ends up being quite flat. If you live in a world where everything can be reduced to what you can understand and explain, the world seems a bit gray and drab. So Jesus performs this sign, and what are we to do with it? There is another option. What is the meaning to which the sign is pointing? Not only the meaning then, but what is the meaning now for us in our time? Brian McLaren asks, how is our own life like a wedding celebration where the wine has just run out, where the lights will not come on, where a hot air balloon has just crashed outside the window? In this story, there's also another problem. And the problem is this seeming delay of Jesus' response, and this back and forth between Jesus and his mother. In the Gospel of John, I had to be reminded of this. She's never referred to as Mary. She's always just the mother of Jesus. And she comes to Jesus and says, they have no wine. It seems a little indirect, right? She meant, and you should do something about it. And Jesus responds almost rudely, right? Sounds into our ears, woman, why is that my problem? But then she turns aside to the servants and says, do whatever he tells you. In other words, she has a sense that something is about to happen in and through the life of her son that which will make a difference for this wedding and will make a difference for the world. But Jesus delays. Jesus delays. What do we do with that delay? I think it's what Langston Hughes called in his poem, a dream deferred. And on this weekend, of all weekends out of the year, we talk about dreams, and not just any dream, but the dream of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. a dream that we have yet to fulfill, a dream that is still deferred. And what do we do with this delay, with this seeming reluctance on the part of Jesus to act? And yet he does act. You see those jars? Start filling them with water. And the servants do. And now go and dip into the water and find out that it has been completely changed into something new, and go and let the steward know. Of course, it's a hilarious detail that the steward tastes it, and all the steward can think is, who was stupid enough to serve the best wine last? This should have been what we toasted with, not what we finished out the celebration with. And yet, Jesus' sign is to show forth his glory, is to show forth his presence in the midst of the failing wedding, to show forth that the best things are yet to come, if we would but believe and reach out our hands to receive it. We are, I think, at a sorry place in the life of our society. It's possible to see ourselves at a very much failing wedding. Comments that were made by our very president in this past week bring shame not just upon him, but upon us all. Even knowing how to respond is a difficult thing to do. And yet we throw insults back and forth, wondering what to do, wondering why the delay, wondering why the dream has been deferred, wondering why we're even still having this conversation about who belongs. As Dr. King said, we all came over on different ships, but we are all in the same boat now. We are all in the same boat now. And so the church has a special calling. And I say this not only to the adults in the room, but to the middle schoolers. The church, not only of which you are a part, but which you embody, has an important role in the life, not just of our communities, but in the wider world. We are the ones who believe that the best is still coming. That even though the wine seems to have run out, the best is still to come. That is there for the tasting, there for the believing, there for the sharing. Dr. King said, I refuse to believe that we are all in a death spiral. Instead, I believe that nonviolent love and unarmed truth will eventually prevail. And so on this weekend, presented with this story of impossibility, that is the question that poses itself to us once again. Do we think the wedding is over and that that's the best it was going to be? Or do we believe that there is now not just an abundance, but a superabundance of God's grace and love and possibility that is still being offered? It is a pregnant question, pregnant with possibility. And it is as if the whole creation is holding its breath, waiting for the church to answer.